Welcome to the first ever Food Dialogues. It's a critical conversation that this country has been eager to have for a long time. Today we'll hear from experts across the food spectrum, farmers and ranchers, chefs and restaurant professionals, academics and scientists, politicians and policymakers, on the wide range of issues that influence how our food is grown and raised and how it ultimately ends up on your dinner table. We'll literally span the country, going from Washington to Indiana, from California to New York, and everywhere in between with live streaming video and social media tools. But as much as it's a day to share information, it's more important that we listen. The United States Farmers and Ranchers Alliance, today's hosts, established this forum so that their affiliates, which account for many of the farmers and ranchers in this country, could hear what we're saying, could understand the questions that consumers are asking about their practices, their values, their operations. In fact, the agenda and the questions we're going to ask were a direct result of two groundbreaking studies, really interesting. One focused on farmers and ranchers, the other on consumers. In just a minute, we'll look at some of the most compelling highlights from that research. One of the biggest insights is that farmers and ranchers are answering the wrong questions. They've been focused on providing safe, affordable, and abundant food, long the goal of U.S. agriculture, of course. But now the bar's been raised. The questions, as we all know, are more complex. The need for information about how food is raised, how food is grown, has increased. The demand for transparency has grown. Before we get started, it's important to say, just to admit, we are not all going to agree with each other today. There will be constructive debate, opinions that make us all uncomfortable, and real challenges to our food system that will give us pause. But that's the point. This is a complicated topic with lots of solutions, lots of data and research. But we've never had an opportunity to ask the questions and start a discussion with so many voices. So I will ask that you remain respectful, even if you disagree with every fiber of your being. Please, let's keep the conversation constructive. One thing we learned from the research is that there's more that bonds us than divides us. And consumers do want to work together to keep improving how farmers and ranchers raise and grow food. The USFRA hopes this is the first step in a long conversation. A lot of people have already submitted questions on fooddialogues.com. Some of those questions will be guiding our discussion today, but already the USFRA has had a lot of people saying, why aren't you answering our questions now? Well, most of the tough questions in this industry don't have black and white, simple answers. And we do want the farmers and ranchers and others to answer the questions, share their opinions, and we think they're going to be doing that in the next few weeks and months. We want to facilitate the discussion, so please take part in the conversation. If you have information that's valuable, share it. All respectful questions submitted on our website, through Twitter, through Facebook, and in person at these meetings will be collected and posted at fooddialogues.com in the coming days. We do want to keep a record of what people are most passionate and curious about. And in the coming months, again, the USFRA will try to find answers to these questions and guide our activities with what seem to be the priorities from all of you. If you care about the food you eat, and we all do, stay with us throughout our program today. Engage with others who are taking part in this conversation at www.fooddialogues.com. Invite your friends to join. If you want to tweet on some of the interesting comments we're going to share today, use the hashtag FoodD. Follow along as others join this conversation. This is just the start of what I think will be one of the most important and informative discussions our nature has ever had on agriculture. And I want to get started by introducing our distinguished hosts from around the country. Let's start in the Midwest with veteran ag journalist Max Armstrong. Max, welcome.
Claire, thank you. Greetings from the heartland of America here as we join you not too far south of Chicago. We're just a little more than an hour south of the Chicago Loop out here, surrounded by farm fields of corn, soybeans, alfalfa, a few thousand dairy cows here at Fair Oaks Farm. It's a remarkable dairy enterprise here, not too far, as I said, south of the Chicago area. Just coming into the harvest. It's a busy time of the year. Nevertheless, we have some producers joining us here, people who have an up-close and personal relationship with agriculture. They produce the food that nourishes us. They're joining us here in the audience as well. But we'll be taking some questions and sharing with you from this location the voices and choices of farmers. Now let's go to the University of California, Davis. Here's Jane Wells.
now, we're here at the Robert Mondavi Institute for Wine and Food Science. Agriculture is California's number one industry. A lot of people don't realize California is the number one farm state. They joke that it's the land of fruits and nuts. It's actually true. We're also on the leading edge of sustainability, organic, natural, what that all means. We're going to have a lot of discussion about how that, what that is, what hype is, what reality is, how it can be done economically, what the future of all that is here. We're going to talk to farmers and ranchers, leading educators, and a pioneer in the slow food movement who likes to hold the industry's feet to the fire, or in this case, cowboy boots from what I've seen. We're going to talk about that more here, have some lively discussion, but let's go to the other coast right now in New York with Chef John Besh. Chef?
Welcome to New York City. And so I'm here today with a panel of experts that really delve in from the farms and ranches to the consumer, to the menus, to the checkout counters. We as consumers are so hungry for more information, information about food, how it's raised, where it comes from, genetics, the whole nine yards. So we're going to jump into that conversation, and we're going to take it back to the farmer and point of origin. What does that mean to our food supply today, food safety? There's a whole realm of discussions here, really all geared towards the chefs and consumers out there. So let's throw it to Phil over there in D.C. and see what you got there.
Thanks, John. Here in D.C., in our nation's capital, we've brought together the current and former Secretary of Agriculture. We've brought together the heads of many trade associations, both in the room and on our panel. And we've brought together, most importantly, real farmers and ranchers. So we can really talk about the dialogue that is so important, quite possibly the most important dialogue in our lifetime as it relates to food. And also consumers are involved, as Claire talked about, on Twitter, on Facebook, and certainly on our website. We're going to be having a host of questions that, again, as Claire said, might be tough to answer, but this forum is the place to start. Claire, back to you.
Okay, thanks, Phil, and we'll be coming back to you soon. Now, as I mentioned, consumers would guide this conversation today. I want to start that theme right now. The United States Farmers and Ranchers Association commissioned that nationwide study of farmers and ranchers, as well as consumers, to inform these food dialogues. Some of the headlines from that research we felt were really constructive in understanding the type of discussion that consumers want to take part in. Here are some of the highlights. Consumers think about how their food is raised and grown constantly, but they know very little about how food is brought to the dinner table. Overwhelmingly, farmers and ranchers share the same values as consumers. They care about the same things most of us care about: protecting the environment, humane animal care, minimizing inputs, and of course, providing for themselves and their families. Farmers and ranchers know that a divide exists between consumers and their food, and they don't believe the general public has an accurate perception of modern farming and ranching. And perhaps the most compelling result, consumers are firmly divided on the direction of modern agriculture. An equal number feel that food production is improving, as say it's getting worse. And one in five admits to having no idea. Clearly, we have a lot to talk about today. It's time to start our discussion. And what better place to start than Fair Oaks, Indiana? Let's turn the conversation over to Max Armstrong. Max, let's meet your panel.
All right, Claire. Thank you, Claire. We look forward to sharing with you all the information over the next few minutes here from what I call the heart of America. Let's meet, first of all, our panelists, Dr. Malcolm DeKreiger. Malcolm is the vice president of Bellstra Milling Company. Good to have you here with us, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Tell us about your role in the pork industry.
I've been in the pig business now about 21 years as an owner, and about another 15 years before that as an employee and as a farmer. And here in Indiana, we have a number of farms that produce about 300,000 pigs a year, and so we're in it pretty deep.
And many of these farms are within, what, about 100 miles of Chicago?
Yes. In fact, from where we sit today, they're all within about 10 miles of right here. So we're very much a local here at Fair Oaks area.
Sitting next to you, another pork producer, also a corn grower, soybean producer, Phil Bradshaw from Griggsville, Illinois. Right, Phil?
Yes, and we have a very typical family farm. My grandfather started it in the 1800s. My father and my uncles ran it. My two brothers and I was on that farm. Today, the day-to-day operations of that farm is run by my nephews and my son. My daughter also works in it. We produce about 4,000 acres of crops together collectively. We also produce about 150, 200,000 pigs a year. But the way we manage this is very much the same as the way my grandfather managed. You designate people to workplaces. My son works with my nephew on the crops end of it. He works on my other nephew on the livestock, on the pork operation. And he works, splits his time back and forth, helping manage those operations. And then my daughter is actually working in one of our office, in the office we have. So we're all involved in the operation. My grandson will be coming into the operation after he graduates from college next spring. So we are very much a family farm. And I think, Max, we're very typical of farms in the United States
Certainly
today.
Certainly a family farm then, huh, Phil? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gary Corbett, Chief Executive Officer of Fair Oaks Farms. First of all, Gary, thank you for allowing us to come into your place today to hang out for a while.
Absolutely. Let me first say that we're extremely proud to be one of the four hosts of an event that I think is going to be a very exciting opportunity to learn more about food and its genesis. We, too, are a large family dairy farm located in northwest Indiana. We milk approximately 32,000 cows, which sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. We produce roughly the equivalent of 5.28 million 8-ounce glasses of milk every day. And so that would be enough to supply every man, woman, and child in the city of Chicago and Indianapolis with an 8-ounce glass of milk, and we're very proud of that. In addition, we made a decision 7 or 8 years ago to open our farms up to the public, allow them to tour, allow them to come in and see a little bit about us and see what we're all about. And presently, we're hosting about 500,000 visitors a year. And we think this is another great opportunity to start interacting more with consumers and let them understand us as family farmers.
You bet. Thanks, Gary. We appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Representing academia, the Dean of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at Iowa State University, Dr. Wendy Winterstein. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Max. Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here. I serve as the Dean of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, where our crop are our students. So we have about 3,500 undergraduates, 700 graduate students, and we provide them with an education that allows us to place 98% of them at every graduation in a job or an advanced study. In addition, we conduct research on the critical issues across the disciplines of the sciences of agriculture, and we provide extension and outreach programs to producers, communities, business, to share the knowledge that we've generated through our research programs.
Representing the FFA organization here with us, the state president of the FFA, Casey Conley from Knightstown, Indiana. Hi, Casey.
Hey, how are you today?
Just fine, thank you. Tell folks what FFA is all about if someone isn't familiar with it.
FFA is all about agriculture and leadership. We pride ourselves in being leaders of tomorrow, and I'm really excited to be here and talk to all of you today and be a part of this discussion.
It's a tremendous youth development organization, by all means, preparing for careers in all walks of life, but many do go into agriculture.
That's exactly right.
Because of the abundant opportunities that Wendy referred to.
That
there.
Is exactly right.
To set the stage for our discussion today, let me share with you a couple of very interesting statistics. These are statistics, I think, that really kind of drive home the point that we're discussing here. They came from these surveys conducted during July and August. First of all, the survey of farmers indicated that 93% of farmers and ranchers, 93% of those producers altogether, indicated that consumers have an inaccurate perception of modern farming and ranching. 93% feel that way. Then on the other side of the ledger, the survey of consumers showed that just 2 in 5 Americans say they personally have enough information about how their food is grown and raised. Panelists, let's start by discussing why. Why do consumers have so little information? They feel they have so little information. Producers feel they have an inaccurate view. I might start with you, Wendy.
Sure.
Why do consumers have such a void of information?
Well, I think it really is based on the fact that we've had such a safe and productive food system, and it hasn't been a concern for people in the United States for many, many years. So it's time now, though, as folks raise questions about how we do produce animals and crops in our system, to be able to interact with them and help them understand what those systems are about. So I think it's the fact that it's just a separation of folks that have not grown up on a farm, have not had the opportunity to work with a farmer and know what they do in their day-to-day operation.
Gary, obviously, as you describe your operation, you perceive that need to communicate with the consumers. How do you see it?
You bet. Kind of the drivers behind why in the world did we decide to open up our farms. Historically, maybe farmers haven't been the most active in interacting with consumers. We kind of had a philosophy that the world ended at our farm gate. And we made a decision that we had to change that and become more proactive and offensive in terms of our interaction. Well, the statistics are somewhere between 1 and 2% of the population is involved in production agriculture anymore. Doing the quick math, that's 98 to 99% of people aren't involved in production agriculture. If you're of my vintage, you may have grown up on a farm, or you had a grandfather or an aunt or an uncle that is a child or a young adult, you had the opportunity to visit a farm. We're three or four generations, at least in our opinion, for that opportunity. And so we thought it was very important to start that dialogue and start that interaction, because it's not that the people that these consumers are obviously not bad people. They simply haven't been exposed in this 21st century to 21st century agriculture. And that was our genesis or our driver.